This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
She is. She can be such a problem. Oh, that girl is a problem. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. We're heading toward a Monday. We are marching toward a Monday, moving toward a Monday. Are you miserable going into Monday? I hope not, but it is hard sometimes. People ask me every week, how do you handle your weekends on this schedule? And it's a choice that I made a long time ago. I cannot sleep all day Saturday and all day Sunday. I need to have a life of some sort, and especially now being married. But even before that, I would never have been able to sleep all day Saturday and Sunday because I go to church. I like to teach my kiddos at church. Saturday's the one day where there are no hours on the radio, right? Because we work into Friday morning and then we start Sunday night. And so really Saturday's that one full day where I wake up and I have all day and go to bed. I try to be social the early stages of this schedule. I don't think I was very social because it was hard to get used to. But generally Sundays turn into a really long day. So as we're marching toward Monday, I can feel it. Not that I'm miserable because I do love my job and I do like Sundays, but awake before 8 o'clock in the morning and then pretty much awake all day into the night. Sometimes it can be 24, 25 hours by the time I get to bed on Monday morning after the show on Sunday night. And this month, I sleep about 3 hours on Monday and then turn around and drive to Syracuse for my class. So wait until I tell you guys about what happened with a student. I've never had this issue with a student before. Of course, this is just my second time doing the class, but I'm blown away by the lack of awareness, number one. Number two, by the gall of this student to do what he did this weekend. I have talked to my director. I don't want to dock him 25% of the class or of his grade because he's a grad student. If I had gotten a C when I was a grad student, I think I would have I never would have gotten a C as a grad student. You have to work hard as a grad student to not get A's because the whole point is kind of hands-on learning and training. You're not going for numbers there. And I want to give everyone A's in the class. The majority of my grading structure is based on attendance and participation. And your assignments that you present in class. I'm not grading you on whether or not I agree with how your conclusions and how you came up with what you came up with, your research and that kind of stuff. It's more about, did you do them and can you present them in a way that's intelligent and that the rest of the class can relate to? And yeah, this student is asking me to take 25% of his grade. I'm stunned though, by the way that it's played out. So I'll have to tell you, I guess they didn't know that when they start a class with me that they might become examples on the radio of what not to do.
Fair warning.
Fair warning. I mean, he sat in the control room last week for the first part of the show, too. So, yeah. Anyway, I'll tell you about it. It's pretty crazy. Students.
Man, we got a lot of warts.
You think the world revolves around you when you're that age, when you're in your early 20s. It doesn't. It does not at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can definitely find our YouTube channel. Lots of goodies there, not just videos with Jay and I, but also some of our best interviews, including more recently, a conversation with Todd Walsh, the longtime Coyotes broadcaster, who told me privately that he doesn't know whether or not he has a job with the new Salt Lake NHL franchise. And that's actually part of this conversation with teams relocating to new cities that people don't think about maybe unless it affects you. You got a lot of employees of these franchises that don't know if they'll be asked to move with the team, but also maybe they don't want to move with the team. Maybe there are people who live in Arizona who have zero desire to go to Salt Lake City, or there are people who live in Oakland who or the Bay Area who don't want to move to Las Vegas. I mean, that's also a challenge. And so there are, I have broadcasting friends who work for various teams that either have moved or are moving. And they actually don't know, well, the ones that are moving, don't know their job status and how this plays out. And there's a lot of uncertainty there as well. So I hope you'll check out that conversation with Todd Walsh, who joined us last week after the news finally broke that the Coyotes would definitely be leaving the desert. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Boston Celtics, first game in 10 days against the Miami Heat, a familiar playoff foe.
Celtics have their largest lead and the ball with 3 minutes remaining in the third right now. Jalen for Horford, another three.
Timeout coming.
Eric Spoelstra and the Miami coaching staff said our only chance here is for the Celtics to miss threes. They have it in game one. Jalen wins the jump ball from the bigger Jovic. Derek White forces a three, sticks it. And the Celtics, who ran through the entire regular season and boat raced the league, building 20-point leads and 30-point leads and beyond, have opened the playoffs the exact same way. 31.9 to go in the third quarter. Boston by 32.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those days for the Boston Celtics. And when they shoot from downtown the way that they did in this game one against Miami, there really is no beating them. I don't think there's a team in the league that can beat them when they shoot 22 of 49 from beyond the arc. Now, I get it. They made a ton of threes, and they started out like a house on fire. Forget any idea about rust or not having that rhythm. Oh, no, they were primed and ready. They started out on a 12-0 run, and the Heat never recovered. They maybe got within single digits, but it was over early. Even though the Heat outscored them 20 points in the paint. Now, consider that. 20 more points in the paint than the Celtics had, but they're firing from all cylinders deep. It was, I mean, pick your poison. As Sean Grandy says there on the Celtics radio network, it was everyone from Jason Tatum, who only had one, actually. Kristaps Porzingis hit four of them. So did Derek White. Peyton Pritchard comes off the bench and hits a couple. I mean, you end up having a bunch of different guys. In fact, every single guy who played for the Celtics, even Sam Hauser, and there were only eight guys that played in this game, which I thought was an interesting strategy for for Joe Mazzulla, considering that they had such a large lead on the Heat for all of the second half. But I can understand, because they hadn't played in 10 days, wanting to make sure that they were going hard and they were back into that sense of urgency, which they haven't felt for a long time. So every single one of their guys makes triples. And it's all hands on deck and kind of bombs away, if you will. But 49 threes, even when they would get offensive rebounds, they would just chuck the ball back out and take another three. I don't know. It's mind numbing, actually. And at times it can be really boring. Now it's worse when they're not making the threes. That's worse. Think about James Harden and how awful he can be at times when he just loses his shot, loses his stroke. And it happens to all of them. But when you take 49 threes in a game, it just seems to, at least in my opinion, be so one-dimensional. Just not a huge fan of that kind of basketball. The ISO, everybody spread out around the perimeter, take a bunch of threes. Now, I know that is the direction that basketball has gone. And there are so many players in both pro and college who can hit threes. I mean, that's where people start now. It used to be that you learned first by making a layup, and then you would work on the mid-range jumper, and then you would start with the threes. Oh, no. Kids walk into a gym now, and it's the first thing they do is chuck up threes. And I was having a conversation with some basketball fans, or maybe they're not fans, but some listeners on Twitter, and one guy responds to me with the Caitlin Clark, Steph Curry argument. And he makes the point that people love watching their style of play. But Caitlin Clark led the NCAA in assists this season. She didn't just shoot threes. Steph Curry is a point guard, technically, even though you would think he's more like a shooting guard, but he's a point guard. He sets up his teammates too. And what the Warriors are predicated on is ball movement. So yeah, they shoot a lot of threes, but it's not dribble, dribble, shoot a three. Dribble, dribble, 5 feet the other direction, shoot another three. Like, there's ball movement. And the idea behind Steve Kerr's offense is that everybody touches the ball and that you find the open man. And then you have these situations in the playoffs, which can be so bad. And the Celtics ran into it last year against the Heat. The Sixers have run into it. Really, any team that James Harden has played on has run into it, where if your entire game is threes, at some point you're going to have a really bad performance. It's just how it goes. And so, yes, I understand you can crush opponents if you're shooting threes at a clip of 50% and you take 50 of them. But the Celtics also know very well what happens when the shots aren't dropping. And if you have no other elements to your game, and this doesn't necessarily apply to the Celtics, they've got guys who can get to the hole. They've got guys who can drive the lane. But there are some teams that just keep shooting, assuming that it's going to come back. And also, it seems vanilla to me, lacking in variety. So as much as I think the Celtics are a terrific team, that the team that I grew up with in New Hampshire, not these guys, obviously. And I know they're an iconic franchise and they've had a lot of playoff disappointment. Yeah, the style of play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I did retweet my post about basketball with nonstop three-pointers. So if you want to respond to it, it's up on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. So what about all this time off before they get to the playoffs, 10 days, and then before that, really having not a whole lot of incentive to play hard or to have a great sense of urgency? That can be tough. I worried about it with the Bruins last year, or I mean, we talked about other teams, you know, along the way that just they're not pushed at all. They don't feel that sense of playoff urgency. They're not fighting, scratching, clawing for every last game. And so, I mean, the Dodgers and the Braves last year, I felt the same way about them. They just really weren't pushed at all. But the Celtics didn't seem to have that issue.
That was an emphasis for us, just knowing that we've been off for a little bit and we've kind of secured our, you know, place. And so it was like difficult for us to trick ourselves to maintain this, like, you know, crazy mindset of, like, you know, winning every regular season game after past that point. But knowing that we have that the real thing coming soon, and I'm glad that we came out the way we came out tonight, and we just, you know, set the stage for the rest of our path.
Yeah, they definitely did. 18 points for Kristaps Porzingis. He has been everything that Brad Stevens wanted when he traded for him and then some. And as much as it's hard to think about trading away Marcus Smart, a guy who was so instrumental for the Celtics and had been there for so long, Kristaps Porzingis, I don't know if he's the missing piece yet because the season's not done, but they did need KP. Now, he has a tendency to get hurt, but when he's healthy and he's out there, he is a game changer for them. He's exactly what they need in terms of length and reach and inside presence. Also, he stretches the defense because he will pop out and take threes, and he forces you, when he's healthy and moving well, he forces you as an opponent to guard him all over the court. You can't just let him, like some centers. I guess Giannis can hit threes now and then, but you're not worried about Giannis Antetokounmpo everywhere he goes on the court, although he can get that ball and he can drive. But Kristaps will shoot it from anywhere on the court, and so he really does create another wrinkle for the defense. Plus, the wingspan, the length, and the reach. I mean, he's also covers side to side in the paint without really moving. So that changes the shots that the opponent will take as well. So he's been great. Now, there was a moment, and I kind of wondered, is it going to be like this with the Heat? The Heat are attempting to frustrate their opponents, to take them out of rhythm. They don't have Jimmy Butler, and he's the master at that, but they're physical and they're tough, and they're trying to agitate you as much as they can. Like, their mental toughness is a part of their game. This was not intentional, though. Late, there was a rebound, and Jason Tatum goes up for the ball and gets undercut by the Heat's Caleb Martin, and he ends up coming hard down on his back. And again, it was not intentional. If you look at it, Caleb reached over to him right away to try to help him up, and Jason kind of turned around and walked away, but some of his teammates took exception, right? So Jaylen Brown ends up getting a technical foul because he goes after Caleb and, you know, kind of gets in his face. But this was late in the game when it was out of reach.
I feel fine. I mean, I didn't see it. I went to go get the rebound, got knocked out there, fell, you know, and I got right up and go shoot some free throws. It's not the last time I'm probably going to get hit like that or fouled in this series. So, you know, I wasn't hurt. You know, you get hit like that, you know, just get up. And I knew he was in the bonus, so go down there and knock the free throws down.
Good to see JT's good and okay. KP and JV guys back, and you gotta love that.
I am certainly hoping that we will see Jimmy Butler in this series because it's a better series, and he's just a different cat. He's so good, and he's does really everything well, even despite the fact that he's not as tall as some other wing players. He's a guy that sets the tone for them. And so I am hoping that we're going to see him back. It's kind of a bummer to not have Zion Williamson out there, to not know when Giannis is going to return. I haven't heard an update on Jimmy Butler, only that at this point with a physical game, they have to wait and see how he comes along. If it's an MCL injury, it could be a while, and maybe they don't even see him back in the playoffs. So I'm disappointed that we're missing a couple of key guys. That's a bummer. I know that the Kings were missing a starter as well. Wow, talk about a fizzle, by the way. We won't go back to Friday, but wah. You take out the Warriors, you're all excited. It's a big step for the Sacramento franchise, and then nothing really on Friday night. A Pelicans team without Zion Williamson and kind of a fizzle to end the season. Anyway, Celtics start out on a 12-0 run. They really, even though the Heat pulled themselves back into it a little bit because of what they do, they had no trouble in the opener. I thought that was Bam Adebayo, the veteran leadership with this team. And it's Bam, it's Tyler Hero. I know Jimmy Butler wasn't out there, but you've got guys who've been through this with Miami before. They never do it the easy way. They always do it the hard way. Coming through the play-in tournament again, getting the 8th seed, taking on the best team in the NBA, the one that they're not going to be intimidated by. And you can hear that with Bam Adebayo.
We don't get off to a start like that. We fall back into this game. You know, so I feel like it's a different result if we don't let them get off to a hot start.
How about that? We don't let them get off to that hot start where they're up 12-0 before we even shake off, before we even start to sweat, before we even shake off our warm-up jerseys. And the issue, of course, is you cannot let them get hot from beyond the arc.
They shot almost 50 threes tonight. And we knew that coming in. You know, they're...
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Volume three-point shooting team. They get a lot of threes up per game, you know, and that's their game plan. You know, for us, just watching the film and coming up with new or different ways to limit their open threes and who we're giving their threes to.
And so that's the idea, is you know they're all going to shoot threes. Who do you most want taking the shots? I almost said a bad word. Also, Tyler Hero started the answer to that question. So someone asked him about the Celtics shooting threes.
They shot almost 50 threes tonight.
And he starts with a word that we can't play on the radio. I almost said a word that we can't say on the radio on accident. Jay would have had to use the old dump button on me. I think I've only been dumped one time in my career.
I've never had to dump you.
No, you haven't.
No.
But, right, there was a moment earlier in my career where a caller was just, he was being an A double curvy Rhodes, and I actually did say a swear word to him, and promptly it was dumped, which I knew it was going to get dumped, I guess. He was awful. And maybe I needed the excuse to dump him.
No, so he heard it. No one else did. It worked out perfectly.
Anyway, Tyler Hero starts the question about the threes with an expletive. But I think Bam Adebayo speaks for the team that they can compete with Boston. They know they can. They've done it before. And it's just a battle about don't put yourselves in a 12-0 hole when you begin. You know what just happened on my TV screen in front of me? Very weird. I was watching NBA TV. And the end of whatever game was on. And now all of a sudden it switched to True TV. And there's a bunch of dudes on park benches with women's shoes. They're looking at women's shoes.
Are they the Jokers?
The Jokers.
The Impractical Jokers?
Oh, maybe.
Probably.
Maybe. But why are they playing with women's shoes? Heels.
Yeah, that sounds up their alley.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do you watch the show?
I have. I used to watch it a lot more than I do now, but they just kind of go around Manhattan and prank people. But like at this point, like I don't know how now everyone knows who they are.
With women's shoes?
Yeah, they get in. Women's shoes get in there now and then.
Oh, so I'm just watching it. They're sitting on either side of a guy and they're passing the women's shoes back and forth, and they're being told what to do by guys who are in their ears with a microphone. And so now they're sitting on park benches on either side of a female and they're talking across her and she's wearing one headphone and kind of looking at them strangely. Oh, okay. So this time they're not passing women's shoes. They're passing, propane tank back and forth over the top of her.
That's normal in a park. Yeah.
Like they're just passing it back and forth and having a conversation like over the top of her with, a propane tank. She is laughing. I don't know if I'd prefer the women's shoes or the propane tank.
The propane tank is scary.
I mean, just the funny part is that the other two dudes who are telling them what to do are howling like hyenas. So I don't know where they are. They've obviously got to be far enough away that the camera crew can't be spotted in the park. But it looks like they're in Central Park.
Yeah,
and on a sunny day, I wouldn't know who these guys were if they sat down next to me. So I think it works because there are a lot of people who don't watch TV. She finally is like, hey, can you stop?
So, honest, funny you mentioned the laughing in the background because my dad, he hates this show. He can't watch it because he says they're cackling and they're howling after every 5 seconds. Just drives him crazy. So he can't do it.
Oh, they leave the propane tank with her and just like leave it there and get up and walk away.
All right, enjoy it.
Right. And then they come back with like a towel and give it up to her. Anyway, Murray, Sal, and Joe. Those are the Impractical Jokers. Never seen the show before.
There's
but
one more.
Oh,
two.
Ho. They're now, so this has got to be old because they're now at Citi Field with Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
So this is an old, have you seen this one?
I have actually.
Okay.
It's very funny.
So they're all wearing Mets uniforms. One guy's wearing a headband because, you know, that's helpful. And they're hanging out with Noah Syndergaard. All right. So I don't know what happened to my basketball, but this is, this is now what's on my
TV. It helps if you can hear the show. But,
yeah. Yeah. Do you think somebody changed the channel on a someone who loves New York has decided this is what they want to do?
It's either that or the game was on True TV and then they just decided to go back.
No,
to the...
you all, no one watches True TV except for during the NCAA tournament.
That's absolutely right.
I'm telling you, it was NBA TV. Or maybe it was TNT and they're throwing up True TV after?
That's weird.
No, they usually go to some crime drama like Cold Case or something old.
Someone changed it to the Jokers.
Yeah.
I think I know who.
Of course. Oh my gosh. Well, leave the TVs alone in there. Goodness. Okay, way late. Let's see, what do we want to do next? Well, James Harden, he was the good James Harden in the playoffs, but this is generally how it starts. He's got a huge game to begin, and then wah, wah, wah.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Oh, I so forgot how much I dislike his ego. Clippers and Mavericks coming up. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Do you know the Impractical Jokers? And also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Left corner, Barrow with baseline, gets a step on Irving, reverse layup, no, Plumlee offensive rebound, put back, yes! 40-22, and a timeout, Jason Kidd! The Clippers! Up 18 with 10-17 to go in the second. Brooks skies for the rebound. Clippers right to left, up by 25. Here comes Russ through the teeth of the defense. The layup high off the window and in. Westbrook's got 10, and the Clippers lead 56-29. Spine Terrence Mann with three to shoot. Left corner three. Street music! Terrence Mann from the corner, and the Clippers up 87-61.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Clippers radio network, they led wire to wire against the Mavericks. Not really sure what happened with Dallas. You got some Luka, you got some Kyrie. They seem kind of lackluster out of the gate, and it hurt them. And Jason Kidd was not excited about it. So James Harden was, he was good James Harden in this one, 50% from beyond the arc for James Harden, which is big, right? And then 50% for the team from beyond the arc, 6 of 11 from him from deep. But to be able to get the contributions, not just with the points, but also with the assists is what you need from Harden, especially without Kawhi Leonard. And I would think that if you put a lie detector test on James Harden, that he would tell you he's still the best player out there. But they've compiled this group of veterans who all have that same mentality. Kawhi, Paul George, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook, who's coming off the bench. And without Kawhi, you still have enough of that veteran presence and leadership and star power. Westbrook came into the game and provided some energy because he still does that. He came into the game and he provided some pop, which I think is what they need from him. And I love that he's willing to accept this role. I like the fact that these veterans, what they care most about is winning a title. Now, Kawhi has two, obviously. Two or three? Did he win two in San Antonio?
No.
I'd have to go back and look. No? Just one?
Definitely the one in Toronto. And then...
Well, of course, yeah. Right. All right. So anyway, at least two.
Yeah.
But obviously Paul George and Russell Westbrook and James Harden, for sure, they all want to win titles. So at this point, they're willing to do whatever it takes. And for Ty Lue, he obviously understands that himself.
James is James, and so we need him to be aggressive, you know, no matter if Kawhi's playing or who's on the floor. And so, you know, when he's getting 10, 11 threes up, like, usually it's going to be a good night for us, you know. So just, you know, attacking the basket, making the right play, but also getting his threes, getting his one-on-one isos, and getting our spacing.
No,
you know, we got to do a better job with that, which we didn't do a lot of slot cutting. But, you know, overall, like, we know, you know, James will score at a high level, and tonight he was really good.
I can score with the best of them. You know what I mean? Like, Liv still can score with the best of them. My role for this team is just, you know, generating really good shots and making guys' jobs easier. And then when my number to score is called, you score the basketball. Obviously, Kawhi is out, so my playmaking and my volume is going to go up a little bit more and take advantage of it.
I like the balance from the Clippers in this game where they've got five different guys who are in double figures, including four in their starting lineup, and that's without Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, Paul George, Kawhi, they might be the same guy. They're never on the court together. It's a little bit like, no, there's a much smaller, well, maybe not a smaller sample size. It's like KD and Kyrie in Brooklyn, never on the court together. They enjoyed seeing each other in the locker room and saying hi or the training room, but they were never on the court at the same time. So they might be the same guy, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, as I say, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, they've got enough veteran leadership, and I think they've also got enough pop for the most part. Now, they have to shoot at a pretty high clip, but I do believe that they can, because of the guys that are leading them and because of the skill sets, whether diminished or not, they can match up with the likes of a Luka Doncic and a Kyrie Irving. And Paul George sounds pretty confident, even with Kawhi on the bench.
We want Kawhi back when he's ready. But I still think we have enough to, you know, continue to push forward and win games when we need to.
Best first half for James Harden as a Clipper. My favorite part of watching Clippers games, though, is Steve Ballmer. I mean, I know it's a postseason game, and so I would expect a little more energy from him, but he cracks me up.
Toilets! 1,106 toilets! You're enough!
He's that excited about toilets. Imagine how excited he is in the first minute of a game where it's clear the Clippers have come out firing. And the way he claps is like a walrus. It's so funny. It's like a, you know, a walrus clapping his fins together. And I'm not making fun of him. I just am so tickled by his animation. He is, he's so animated. It cracks me up. And he's so happy. I honestly, as much as I dislike most of what I know about James Harden, not all, but most, I would love for the Clippers to win a title. First of all, that fan base is just, they've been through the ringer. But because Steve Ballmer might spontaneously combust, he might. Just good stuff.
Have you ever seen the video of Steve Ballmer and like Bill Gates, a couple other people like in that field? It's like 1990. They're releasing Windows 95. Mm-mm. And they're dancing on like this stage to the Rolling Stones.
How
and
did
all,
you see this?
It's, I don't know. I saw it on like Instagram or something. Oh. It's amazing.
And how is Steve Ballmer then?
He's clapping, doing walrus claps, and he's sweating profusely. And he's, it's hilarious. It's amazing.
Oh, poor guy. He just loves his team so, so much. And he's all in. And as much as you could say that about a Mark Cuban or a Jerry Jones, I mean, Steve Ballmer adores the Clippers, just adores them. I think he might have a really bad day when they lose. He's so tied to them emotionally. But I'm glad. I mean, it's got to be great to have a boss that is that invested and is so happy when you do well. Yeah, I don't know what that's like. Not recently. All right, coming up next, what do we still have to do here from this first day? Well, we want to get to the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. And also Michael Porter with some comments about this emotional time for his family, not just his brother, Jonte, but another brother who's also found himself in trouble. And so I appreciate that Jay was able to find that audio too. Oh, the first weekend of the NBA playoffs is in the books. Same thing with the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll get to some of those games as well. Oh, my gosh, I looked up just now. Steve Ballmer's like double fist pumping and punching the air and clapping. He's a hoot. Can we adopt the Clippers as like the lovable losers just because of Steve Ballmer?
Yeah, we can. I like that.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of fun. I would enjoy seeing Steve Ballmer at a trophy presentation.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be audio for days.
That would be gold.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray gets it back. 7 on the clock. Murray's one-on-one against Davis here. Step back three. Yes! 94-81 Denver. Throws it to Jokic on the pick and pop. Joker picks up his dribble. Back behind him over to Reggie Jackson. Turns the corner with the left hand. Back behind him, Joker. Big bucket three. Yes! Denver back in the lead by 10. Throws it off over to Jamal Murray. Back over to Joker. Dribble handoff behind him to Murray. Murray fake the pass. Throws it right side to Porter in a three. That one's good! 3 seconds left to go in Denver. There's the horn! Denver wins game one, round one. They take care of the LA Lakers. Final tonight, 114-103.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Lakers were in playoff mode to start. Maybe took the Denver Nuggets a little bit longer. In fact, LeBron James had 19 points in the first half and a deep three that put the Lakers up by 3 points at the break. They had 60 points in the first half, which is not what the Denver Nuggets defense wants to be given up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You hear there with Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio that they were able to settle in and really match the intensity in that second half. And when they did that, they had the opportunity to take advantage of their crowd, which is always really good in Denver. Remember, they've been so good at home during these playoffs, especially last year, obviously, with their championship. And so maybe they, I don't want to say they were caught off guard because they know the Lakers well, but maybe just kind of having that initial pop in the face or punch in the mouth, if you will, force them to, you know, to kind of come face to face with, hey, if they're not just going to lay down in as we try to defend our title. This is still LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and D'Angelo Russell, and they can still be formidable. So Nikola Jokic ends up with 32 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Jamal Murray did not shoot well. He was just 9 of 24 from the field, though he did have a double-double. And he actually says it's the other side of the ball the Nuggets are focused on.
I don't think we're ever worried about offense, man. I think you know, I didn't shoot well, but I didn't think I had a bad game. I think when we're not making shots as a group, you know, we got to buckle down on defense. That's got to be a focal point, which it was. And, you know, I think everybody, you know, Jokic played great defense. DJ came in the game, did a good job. P-Watt was ready to play.
4 times in the playoffs last year, 3 times this year. They're pretty much the same team, aside from a few players, and same for us. But I think more important than that, regardless if we're comfortable or not, I think our guys understand against that team, if you turn the ball over, you're allowing LeBron to get out and run a transition, and there's no answer for him in that regard. So that's one thing we harped on all week, is not fueling their break with costly mistakes.
Michael Malone, he's not salty yet. He'll get salty the deeper the Nuggets get into the playoffs and the less sleep he has.
We're some greedy bastards, baby. We're some greedy bastards.
LeBron with 27 points and 8 assists, and actually worried about how they rebound, how they match up under the glass or off the glass with the Nuggets.
I just get bodies, hit bodies, and it's challenging at times. Obviously, Aaron Gordon does a great job of playing that dunker spot, and you know, we get caught in rotation sometimes in the smalls on them. You know, obviously Joker, his ability to rebound his misses or just rebound in general. It's a big team.
AD also had a double-double, but for the first time in quite a while, D'Angelo Russell did not shoot well. He was just 1 of 9 from downtown. So the Nuggets take the opener, and Michael Porter ends up with a real good game. 19 points, 8 rebounds. Considering what has happened in his family over the last week, in fact, he missed practice on Friday because one of his younger brothers, Coben Porter, was getting sentenced for a fatal DUI. I think this happened over the winter time. And he was over the legal limit, so he was driving drunk, and he killed a woman with his car. And he was facing sentencing. So he's now in prison. And then think about what else happened last week with the Porter family. If you didn't know, Jonte Porter, the Toronto Raptors forward, is another one of Michael's younger brothers. And so you've got two guys in the NBA from the same family, but now one has been banned for life for betting and throwing bets in hoops, and the other one is in prison for killing a woman and driving drunk. And I'm impressed that he can go out there and play at all, because I don't think I could if that were my brothers.
Definitely tried to compartmentalize, you know, some best and sad stuff happened to a couple of my brothers, but I got, you know, 15, 16 more brothers in here. So I know I had to be here for them and come in here and do my job and try to prepare to do it at a high level.
And he says his Nuggets teammates have been there for him, which I think is critical. He points out, I've got family that I'm related to, so family by blood, but also family by virtue of basketball.
Each one of them texted me separately and just told me they got my back. If I need anything, they got me. Yeah, a lot of people have been reaching out, friends, family, you know, so to have these guys understand, you know, why I missed practice yesterday and just have my back has been big for me.
Right, so again, he missed practice because he had to be at his brother's sentencing hearing and was testifying, actually, on his behalf, maybe a character witness. Everything he's feeling, all those emotions. We hear about athletes and we watch athletes who often can put aside a tragedy like this. I think about the Warriors and the fact that they lost an assistant coach this year. He died right in front of them in a team dinner. Brett Favre is a classic example, loses his father on a weekend and then goes out and has one of his best games of his career on Monday Night Football, despite the fact that there are tears and there's so much emotion. So, yeah, I think there is something to be said for pro athletes who know how to compartmentalize that mental toughness, finding some solace in basketball.
We're human, so we carry our emotions and the things that go on off of the court onto the court. But, you know, I'm mentally tough. I've been through a lot through, you know, my whole career. So, you know, it was just another one of those things that I had to try to play through.
So the case of Michael Porter, it's two of his brothers that have gotten in serious trouble and have seen some major life calamities. For Derek Lively of the Dallas Mavericks, he just lost his mom about a week ago. And she had moved in with him when he was drafted, and she would attend as many games as she possibly could. She wanted to be around him as much as she could, but she's been battling cancer off and on for years. Finally passed away. And now here he is into the playoffs with the Mavericks and trying to deal with all of that emotional fallout and just the waves of grief that hit you. I mean, we all recognize those and have been through those before. But yeah, two NBA players who are dealing with some real life pain and real life grief and are yet going out there and being part of their team's playoff push. It speaks to their mental toughness, but also the family and the teammates they have around them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.